You are listening to Agent Court Church's audio podcast. The following message, Songs of Christmas, Simeon's Song, was presented on Sunday, December 18th, 2016, by Pastor Keith Smith. For more information on Agent Court Church, including service times, how to connect, and campus locations, please visit our website at onechurch.to.
Did you get your Christmas card from the pastors? There more will be available in the lobby if you missed getting yours last week, but we had the photo taken right up here. And as Pastor Jonathan and I were walking out together, we were thinking of, you know, different pastors that we were close to that were part of the picture in years past. And I said to Pastor Jonathan, I said, do you know who I still miss? Pastor Charles Yates. And just him being there. Do you know, it was 22 and a half years ago when we were pastoring in Ottawa, Charles Yates was the chair of the search committee for a new pastor for Agent Court. And he called, and you know, you've heard some of that story before if you're church family, and how, you know, we came to a place of surrender, trusting God with our future, and we agreed to allow our name to go forward to the members here and to come and speak here. And the right people found out that information at the right time. Obviously, the search committee. How many know? I talked to Esther about it. The deacon board in Ottawa, the deacon board here, the right people at the right time found out that information. But there are a lot of you in the church family and some who are on staff that would go to Pastor Yates, who was chairing the search committee, and they would say, who is it? Who's going to be coming, you know, to speak and maybe be our new senior pastor? And can you tell us something about him? And I love the way he handled it. He'd say, can you keep a secret? And they'd think, whoa, he is going to tell me something. And so, yeah, we can keep a secret. He'd say, so can I. So can I, you know. Do you think that there are times where God reveals a secret to someone in the human race? Do you think there are times where God will give us advance information about our future? You know, here's another way to put the question, and we'll have it on the screen. It says it this way. It says, you know, can you and I be the kind of people that God prepares for the future? Do you know the answer to that is yes? Look at Luke chapter 2 and then find verse 26, and you'll see a man that God prepared for the future. He let him in on a secret. What was there about this man that God could reveal a secret to that a whole lot of other people right there missed? All right? Luke 2, verse 26 says, it had been revealed to Simeon by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Why does God reveal this amazing secret to Simeon and not to others? We saw in Mary's song when we started this series that, you know, anyone could open up their Bible in the Old Testament and read why the Messiah was coming to be the Savior. The whole sacrificial system reminded them that they needed someone to pay a price so they could be forgiven. The prophets had declared that he'll be born in Bethlehem, the kind of life he would live, that he would die, that he would rise again. Isaiah 53 covers that. They all had access to that information, as did Simeon, but it was only Simeon that God said, I'm going to let you know by my Spirit that you're not going to die until you see the Messiah. What was there about him? I've got good news. What there was about him that allowed God to prepare him for the future, we can have those characteristics too. There are three of them. The first one is this. You have to be the kind of person that prioritizes everyday closeness with God. Every day. You know, just ready for that message, ready for God to speak to you every day. Now, verse 25 says, here's some of the qualifications for Simeon. It says, Simeon was righteous and devout. Don't let those two words scare you off. Righteous, it doesn't mean he's perfect. It means he always wants to do the right thing before God. Make the right decisions. He wants to please God. He wants to be more and more righteous do what pleases God. And then devout, that means he's devoted. He's reliable. He's committed. He's all in. And so, you know, there's a lot of Christmas events that are these one-time spectacular occurrences. You know, we sang them in the carols this morning. The angel choir in the sky. The big angelic announcements to certain individuals. That unique star that was once in a, you know, universal lifetime occurrence to signal the arrival of the Messiah. Listen, if I had an angel appearance, how many, I'd be listening. I'd be saying, you know, God, you're speaking to me, I'm listening. How many in this room have had an angel show up in your life? Anybody? No hands in all three services this weekend. Well, except for one. I'd love to hear your story. Because it does happen. It does happen. Very rare, but it does happen. No one's ever had a special star appear to signal something from God for you. So what is going on here? What you see is someone who every day, they're saying, the God of the universe is my God. I'm on earth to live for him, to please him, to be righteous, to be devout, increasingly so as I follow the Lord. For Simeon, it wasn't like a once-in-a-lifetime divine intervention. It was business as usual. Every day, he just, righteous, devout, just live for God. And same for Mary and Joseph. How did that meeting ever occur? Have you ever wondered, oh God, you know, when it comes to a job or a relationship or whatever, how can I just be in the right place at the right time? It's interesting to see how it was orchestrated that Simeon goes to the temple at the very same time that Mary and Joseph bring the baby Jesus to be dedicated. And you know what got them there at that time? Scripture says in verse 27 that Mary and Joseph were doing what the custom of the law required. 40 days after a baby is born, you bring that baby to the temple. In other words, they're just doing what the Bible says. This is what they did every day in their life. They tried to follow what the Bible said. God, you say this about this area of my life, so that's the way I want to live that area of my life. And so when the baby Jesus arrives at the temple, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks is exactly. Guess what was in Simeon's heart? You find out because it says that when he picked up the baby Jesus, he began to praise God. And in Simeon's song that we'll look at in a few moments, Simeon's song, he quotes three verses from the prophet Isaiah. How many know what was hidden in his heart? Do you see how the scripture, he knew the scripture. This wasn't like something out of the blue. This was something that he lived in, and God orchestrated his steps. Are you getting the picture that in order to be the kind of person that God speaks to about the future, you live in daily connection with God? Do you see that? It says he was moved by the Holy Spirit to go to the temple. Moved by the Holy Spirit. Now, how did Simeon know that it was the Spirit talking? How many have ever heard, like, been prompted or heard something in just your heart or mind? You said, God, is this really you? You know, how do you know it's God? Let me give you a way to know. Two words, voice recognition. Voice recognition. You know the voice of God. You're familiar with it already, so when he speaks, you recognize it as God's voice. I had a phone call from Edmonton this past week. And the person didn't even get through the three words, hello, Pastor Keith. They didn't even get those words, and I knew exactly who it was. Why? Because I was familiar with that voice from my past. That's the way it works. Listen, how many know God has already spoken in the Bible? That's his voice. He reveals himself, his will. And so anytime I hear any other voice, I have to say, is what I am hearing consistent with that which he has already said? Because how many know God does not contradict himself? He always says the same. It's his voice. What did Jesus say? My sheep know my voice. They won't listen to the voice of a stranger. They know my voice. And so Simeon is moved by the Holy Spirit. He knows it's God's voice. He's in a place of surrender. He trusts that voice. But then it goes, it also says right in that same breath in the scripture, the Holy Spirit was upon him. The Holy Spirit was upon him. See, it wasn't like one day he got up and he's moved by the Holy Spirit. Every day of his life, the Holy Spirit was upon him. Isn't that wonderful? You see, the shepherds were moved by an angel. The wise men, the magi, were moved by a star. Simeon was moved by the Holy Spirit. You and I are probably not going to have a star. It's rare to have an angel appearance, but how many are thankful? All of us every day can be moved by the Holy Spirit. Every day, the presence of Jesus at work in our lives, speaking to us, guiding us, because we've opened our heart to him, and wherever there's space, he comes in. Lord, I need you, I need you. And he comes in and fills that space with his truth and his grace. Oh, what a privilege to know him. And this makes me so excited, Pastor Jonathan, about the series that we're going to do this coming January, because it's basically saying, hey, if you every day in 2017 will establish habits in your life. Now, do you know how long it takes to establish a habit? The researchers tell us it's between 18 days and 254 days, depending on, you know, what it has to overcome to establish itself or what kind of habit it is, how drastic it is. 18 to 254 days to establish a habit. And what we're going to be doing in January is helping us as a church family establish habits that are going to outlast every New Year's resolution you have ever made. How many would say, that doesn't take long? And by January 2018, your life will still be benefiting from what you established as a habit during 2017. Spirit-sustained habits. Looking forward to sharing that series together with you. Because how many know we need to grow, we need to change. And that means some of the stuff that's not healthy we leave behind. Relationships, habits, stuff that we do, and we move into what God has for us. I'd loaned out a vehicle, and when I got it back last week, I turned it on, and out of the radio came blaring these words. It was on a different station than I'd had it on before, and these words came blaring out, "I can't feel my face when I'm with you." And I turned it up. I thought, what? I can't feel my face when I'm with you. I thought to myself, man, if she's having that kind of impact on you, dude, time for a new girlfriend. You know what I'm saying? Changes. You know, like, for me to go to become what God wants me to be, what do I need to change? What do I need to change? Can you imagine being the kind of person that God could reveal himself to help you move into the healthiest changes in your life? You say, okay, you're talking about 2017, and I understand where we're going in January, but hey, Pastor Keith, it's Christmas week. Okay, thank you for reminding me. What about this week? How many are just... Maybe that everyday closeness with Jesus just isn't what's prioritized in your life these days, and you're consumed. Are they going to like the gift? Am I going to get the gift? Do you know what the number one desired Christmas gift is made by a Toronto company? For children, anyway. It's called Hatchimals. Hatchimals. And they've run out of stock. They're rushing the orders. They're flying them in rather than shipping them in. People are going on eBay paying two or three times as much as what they cost in the store because they're out of stock and their Hatchimals are. How many are going to have a bad Christmas because you didn't get your Hatchimal? You know, I think sometimes this is a good time this week, isn't it? Just to sort of chill. I say, you know what? I'm going to prioritize. If I can get that word out, I am going to do it. I'm going to prioritize a closeness with Christ this Christmas because that's the best gift. How many of the best gifts, you can't even get them with a credit card, debit card, or even cash. You can't. You can't even barter for them. No. So I thought I'd share this with you. You know, money can buy a bed, but cannot buy sleep. How many have found that out? Money can buy a book, but not brains. Money can buy food, but not appetite. Money can buy cosmetics, but not beauty. Money can buy a house, but not a home. Money can buy medicine, but not health. Money can buy entertainment, but not happiness. Money can buy a crucifix, but it cannot buy a Savior. How blessed are we? Amen? How blessed are we? You know, if no other gift. You know, I love the children and not trying to, but you know what I'm saying? Let's prioritize the fact that the greatest gift has already been given. It is Jesus Christ. Let's have a closeness with God this Christmas. Amen? So that kind of person that God can prepare for the future is a person that has this daily closeness with God. They want God. And God can reveal, He can prepare that kind of a person. Second, what other characteristic does Simeon have that we can have that we can become that kind of person that God can prepare for the future? Well, it's the person who patiently waits for the timing of God. They patiently wait. Simeon, how did he do that? It says, Simeon was waiting for the consolation of Israel, the one who would come and comfort and set things right for the nation of Israel. And then it goes on to say, the Lord Christ. Christ means the anointed one. It's the label that was used to designate the Messiah. And so you have Simeon waiting for Jesus Christ to come to earth and be revealed. That's what he's living for. He's patiently waiting for the time of God. And has his people ever been waiting? You know, promised in Genesis, raised up a nation through Abraham, through you all nations of the world will be blessed. David, through your seed will come the ruler. I mean, the prophets of they have been waiting a long time. Remember we started this Christmas season singing in that liturgical service, O come, Emmanuel, and ransom your people, Israel. Listen, that song came out of centuries of people just waiting for the Messiah to be revealed. And through those centuries, there would have been a lot of people that would have said, okay, God, now's a good time to send the Messiah. Do you see the shape the world is in? Do you see the longing in our hearts? Oh, come, Emmanuel. And they may have had the will of God, but they did not have the timing of God. Do you know why? Galatians 4, verse 4 says, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son to redeem us. Watch this now. In the fullness of time. It wasn't waiting until the cup was half full, three quarters. No, it had to be full. All the pieces that needed to be put in place needed to be put in place. And then, and only then, was it the fullness of time. How many have ever jumped the gun before the fullness of time? I got into trouble. People do that all the time. We saw from Pastor Jonathan and Zachariah's song last weekend, didn't we? God has a plan, but God also has a pace. A pace. He unfolds his plan. How many are thankful God's never late? He's also never early. It's in the fullness of time. When we wait for his time, it is perfect. It's not easy, but it is perfect. We do not have the will of God completely in fullness until we have the timing of God. You know, listen, money. Money can be a blessing. It takes care of your needs. You're able to put stuff away so you're not a burden to others in the future. You're able to help out other people, do good things for missions around the world. Money is wonderful. But watch this now. Getting money by an opportunity to be greedy, that's not the right time. Right thing, wrong time. Sex is the right thing. Marriage is the right time. Sex is God's design. Beautiful, pleasurable, and good. Marriage is the right time. That's the relationship that God designed for sex. Power. Power. Power is a great tool that you and I can use to help. If we have power, we can use that power to help others. But watch this. To get power before you're ready to handle that power, that's destructive. And that can corrupt completely. That's not good. So God entrusts Simeon, second of all, because he's willing to wait for God's timing. Willing to wait for God's timing, patiently. How many people find it easy to wait? My hand is not up, by the way. It's frustrating. We think we know God. They should be doing this right about yesterday. Like, what's up with this? And we get frustrated sometimes just trusting God's timing. But have you ever noticed, have you ever followed Jesus long enough and you jump the gun, you realize you mess things up? When you get in there and take matters into your own hands and you're early and he has other pieces to put in place before the cup is full and you're already, anyway. I remember, didn't our children do a great job last weekend in that skit? It reminded me of a story. I don't know if I told you before, but it's a story much like that children's skit that we had on the platform last weekend in all of our services. The children were doing it, and they were retelling the story of Christmas, the arrival of Jesus. Well, there were the three guys that were playing the wise men. There was one of them that was particularly nervous, and you know, it was sort of like he jumped the gun a bit. And their job was to bring gold, frankincense, and myrrh and lay them before the baby Jesus. But they're out there, and he's nervous, and then he comes out too early, and he walks across to where. And there's Mary, there's Joseph, but there's no baby Jesus. They stood there, they looked, and the guy that got them out there early, he said to Mary and Joseph, he said, "We'll come back later." You know, yeah. Rewrote scripture, but anyway, we'll come back later. How many know we always mess up when we get early? When we don't wait for God's timing. So Simeon was the type of person that God could entrust with advance information because he knew he would wait for God's timing, you see? So what have we seen so far? Who's the kind of person that God can give a secret to, that God can entrust with information about the future? First of all, they're a person who has that daily closeness with God. They know his voice in the scriptures. They're living for the Lord in the other areas of their life. They're not perfect, but they love the Lord. They live to do what is right before him. Secondly, they're the kind of person that waits for his timing. They wait for God's timing. Third, what else qualifies us to be the kind of person that God can reveal in advance what he's going to do? Well, it's the person that partners with God's heart for who? Others. I'm told that the older I get, the more narrow and rigid I'm supposed to get. The more fixed I am supposed to be in my ideas, get set in our ways. Old people are told, you just get set in your ways. Listen, I've met a lot of young adults. I've met a lot of millennials that are very specific, think petty, in their preferences. They can just get very set on their ideas, and this is the way church should look like, this is the way life should look like, and they have very, very set ideas. Now, Simeon, because what I'm saying is this rigidness, this narrowness can happen to any of us no matter what age we are. Simeon was different from the people that were at the temple that day, different from a lot of people in his generation, and it challenges me. He had God's heart for others. A lot of people that lived at that same time that could have seen Jesus at the temple, they could have texted each other and had a whole crowd come to the temple that day and just been all excited the Messiah's here. Why did they miss it? Why did so many people miss it? What does the Bible say? Jesus, the Messiah, came to his own people and his own did not. They didn't receive him because they didn't recognize him. Why would they not recognize him when he was so specifically described in the Bible they had, the Old Testament, the Old Covenant? Two reasons: selective hearing and narrow eyesight. Those are the two reasons. All right, selective hearing. Watch this. People in Jerusalem and Israel, when the Messiah arrived, as totally described in the Old Testament, Bethlehem, he'll be born, and it was described this, watch, that he will be wounded for our, bruised for our, he'll be a lamb led to the, I mean, it was all described that he would die, that he would rise again in Isaiah 53, all described, that was the suffering Messiah. They did not have those verses underlined in their Bible. They were not highlighted on their Bible app. No, they did not really know those verses about a suffering Messiah. The verses that they had highlighted were those that talked about a kingly ruling Messiah that would come as the king. And how many know Jesus is the King of Kings? We sang about that. He is, but he's also one who came to sacrifice his life for every one of us. He's also the suffering Messiah. But they were looking for a ruling, kingly Messiah and not for a suffering Messiah. And so they missed him. They missed him. How could he come from such humble origins? How could this happen? And they miss seeing Jesus. Now, what have I taught you? That if you have one Bible verse, don't go running off building your whole life around it. Go to your Bible and say, God, on this topic that this verse is on that topic, what else do you say that in the Bible that's on that topic? Amen? How many know all Scripture is God-breathed? And when you look at the fullness of Scripture, you look at, compare Scripture with Scripture, and you get a fullness of how that truth applies to so many different areas of your life. They didn't do that. They just had selective hearing. No, we don't want to hear about suffering. We want to hear about the kingly Messiah. Secondly, narrow eyesight. The people of that time missed Jesus when he did arrive because they began to think he's only for us. God had said through Abraham, the one that's going to come through you is going to be a blessing to all nations of the world that are going to be blessed through him. And the prophets had confirmed that. By the time Jesus arrived, the people thought, no, it's just us. You ever met a family? Us four, no more. It's just us, and we're the only ones. And in, you had the Pharisees and Sadducees denomination saying, we're the only ones that got it right. And all just narrowing right down to just the way that they thought it should be done. I was a little bit like that one Christmas, a little bit. I was 24 years old, pastoring in Edmonton. My first assistant pastor, Richard Vanderwerk, gave me a wonderful, professionally wrapped Christmas present. I didn't know, Richard, you could wrap something like that. I didn't. The store did it. Okay. So I got this, and then I remember he said something about, you know, I'd open it sooner than later if I were you. But I had this rigid, narrow view, as I'm sure a lot of you will say is the right thing to do. All those presents go under the tree until Christmas morning. And everyone said, no. You know what I'm saying? I just had that narrow, just this is the way. So I didn't really listen to what he said. And I remember and when Esther and I were there and I'm opening up this present from my assistant pastor. And as I lift it up, I detect this foul odor coming from it that only became increasingly foul the more I unwrapped it. And what is this green thing wrapped in plastic? The label was hardly legible, but the label said, from Edmonton's finest gourmet meat shop. Yeah. And I missed out on a gourmet steak dinner, and I deprived my wife of a gourmet steak dinner. Why? Two reasons. Selective hearing, narrow eyesight. Compare that to Simeon. What was his vision? Well, how was his eyesight? How was his hearing when it came to God? He challenges me here. Look at him. All around him, people miss the arrival of the Messiah. Simeon goes to the temple. He picks up the baby Jesus and hears Simeon's song. Look at the words. It's a short one. Look at the words. Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the light of all nations, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel. There are a lot of people that miss the presence of Jesus. He's right there, but they miss it because what they're looking for is all about them. Just like the people in Simeon's time Jesus comes to them, they do not recognize him because it's all about them and their idea of what a Messiah should look like. This is the way church is done. This is the way music, or this is the way the temple worship is done. This is the way the Bible is to be interpreted. This is the, and they miss it all. Whereas Simeon, he sees what God really wants to be seen. He says, this is not about me. Watch this. It's not just about my people and the way I think it should be done. Jesus, you have come for what people? All nations. For the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel. You're here for Israel. You know, they had that view. The Messiah is coming for Israel. No Gentiles need apply. No, that was never what was said in the Bible. And Simeon was able to have God's heart. He partnered with God's heart for others. For others. That challenges me. You see, if I am going to be the kind of person that God can give information to about the future, it has to be that I'm the type of person that says, God, this isn't just about me getting for me. It is me getting for who? Blessed to be a blessing. Always about others. And so that helps me understand why Simeon was entrusted with so much advance information that other people missed, because he was the kind of person that God could trust to handle his timing. He would use it for others. And it wasn't a one-time star or angel appearance. It was about a daily relationship with God. How many say, I want to be that kind of person? Amen? I want to be that kind of person that you can reveal yourself to, O Lord. Do you know what Simeon does as soon as he finishes the song? Verse 34, Simeon finishes that song, and then he goes out and he blesses Mary and Joseph. Watch. See, talk about it not just being for him. You know, a lot of people just stop there. Oh, Simeon got to be told that he'd see the Messiah before he died. No, watch this. There was a reason why God wanted this to be revealed to him. He went out, and the Bible says he blessed Mary and Joseph, and amidst the blessing, he turned to Mary, and he said, Mary, this child is going to, you know, cause the rise and fall of many in Israel, and a sword, Mary, a sword is going to pierce your own heart also. When Mary's standing seeing her son on Calvary's cross, how many know she was already prepared because of what Simeon said at his baby dedication? Already prepared. Isn't that wonderful how God prepares the person who's every day just in the scriptures trying to do the right thing, waiting for his timing, and it's all about others. And Simeon is used by God to prepare the mother of our Savior to be ready for the crucifixion. How many know only God could orchestrate that? And he wants to do that in our lives as we face the future. What do we do? Well, every day, just closeness with him. Doesn't mean we're perfect, but we're every day, Jesus, I live for you. And I'll wait for your timing. And Lord, whatever you give me, I want to just use it for others. Do you see it? Now, what would motivate a person to say, that's the way I want to live? We can learn from Simeon there too. Because you know what, Simeon? I love this about him. He says, now, Lord, as you promised, dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation. I've seen Jesus. Now I can go. I can go. Listen, because you know what he's saying? All I have been living for is to see Jesus revealed in my lifetime. And when I thought of that this past week, I thought, oh, Jesus, may Keith and Esther Smith with Pastor Jonathan the years to come, as long as we live and as long as you give us, you don't return for your church, may we be able to say that we live, whatever role we have in the future, may we live to see Jesus revealed in the lives of Torontonians. May we live to see Jesus revealed in the lives of our neighbors. May we live to see Jesus revealed in the lives of you, our church family, from the youngest to the oldest. May we live to see Jesus revealed. Now, how many, that's what you're living for. That's your priority between now and when you go to heaven. You say, more than anything, I want to live to see Jesus revealed in my lifetime. Amen? You know what will happen then? If that's really what you want more than anything else, then you'll have that daily, everyday relationship with the Lord, right? And you'll wait for Him. You'll mess up sometimes, but then you'll learn to wait for Him. And you'll say, Jesus, it's not about me and mine. It's about others. Because you live your life to see Jesus revealed.
You were listening to the Asian Court Church Podcast. Make sure you don't miss a message by subscribing to this podcast. Click the subscribe button on our website at onechurch.to or search for Asian Court Church in the iTunes Store. All creative content and production for this podcast is provided by the One Church Creative Team.